Okay, let me begin. The title of the message for today, if you can look up here, Christianity Expounded 1, okay? I'm very excited about this title, whoever came up with the title. I did, actually, yeah. I'm very excited about this title because that's precisely what Romans is, Christianity Expounded. If you don't understand the Romans, you really don't understand Christianity. In first century, when Jesus came into the world, all entire Judaism was not based on the scripture, it was based on rabbinical tradition. What's the difference? Scripture, Holy Scripture, is God's revelation, God's word, whereas rabbinical teaching is man's teaching. So can you imagine a religion that is not based upon God's truth, but upon man's tradition, man's idea, man's focus, man's exaltation, completely off. Did you know that? There is only two types of religion in this world. One is God revealing, God achieved religion, which is biblical Christianity. And then all the other is man seeking after God, man's achievement. Did you know that? And within Christian church, so many of you could be falling into the latter category if you don't know the truth, okay? So, Christianity Expounded, and the title of the message is The Gospel of God. Could you repeat after me? The Gospel of God. Youth group, could you repeat after me? The Gospel of God. Youth group, could you repeat after me? The Gospel of God. A little louder. The Gospel of God. When you turn on the news, okay, whether it is NBC or Fox or CNN, what kind of news do you hear? Good news? Most of the news is not good news. Most of the news is about the mess, terrorism, or corruption, accidents, earthquake. None of those are good news, right? If you listen to the news, if you listen to the people, none of those are good news. But it's amazing, there is a good news. But good news is not something that I'm trying to bring it out. Let's say I have a good news for you. I'm gonna buy you lunch, youth group. Okay, is that a good news, Gracie? If I buy you lunch next week, good news? Yeah. She goes, yeah, same to you, okay? It's a good news, but it's the good news of God. It's the good news of God. Do you hear it? It's straight from the scripture, and you may be excited or you may not be excited, but you need to hear the news until you understand the bad news and the reality. You know, you do not appreciate the good news, but this is the good news of God. Book of Romans, a letter that was written to the Christians in Rome, Colosseum, right here, right? Literally in first century. By the time Paul wrote this letter, he was in his third missionary journey, okay? Acts chapter 18, he was in Corinth. And Corinth was like a city that looks something like New York City. Metropolitan city, right? Full of people from all over the world, east and west. It's the city of commerce. It's the city of education. It's a big city. And Paul ended up staying in the city of Corinth for a year and a half. Other than city of Ephesus, this is the only place he stayed something like a year and a half. And he, among other things, he wrote Book of Romans, a letter to Rome, okay? And it's a pretty significant thing because by this time, Paul has been in ministry about for 20 years. Okay, think with me, okay? He's not a hot, young-blooded pastor. He's not just that, you know, Pharisee who just converted and he's fired up, right? He's not a young, immature pastor. After 20 years of laboring and church planting, proclaiming against all the oppositions, Did you notice that wherever Paul went, there was so much opposition. Jews wanted to kill him over and over and over again. Every city that he went, Lystra, Derbe, Pisidian, Antioch, entire Asia Minor, every area where he went, people would follow him and try to kill him. But he would endure it. At once in Lystra, he was stoned to death. Remember that story, Acts chapter 14? Literally. And he was beat. He was beaten by Roman soldiers, shipwrecked, hunger, cold, poverty, 20 years. And then he writes this gospel. Do you hear it? Okay, do you hear it? This is not a novice writing this book. It is written through the inspiration of Holy Spirit. So obviously, this is a deep, profound book, but God does not use a novice to write this book. He is Harvard, Oxford graduate of that time, and yet God broke him to the bottom of the bottoms, and then just kind of trained him for 20 years, and then write Book of Romans. Okay? That's the background. I want to read this to you. Why is this book so important? Just over 1,000 years later, that's after Augustine, Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation. This is something that like draws the line in Christian history. Martin Luther, a monk in the Roman Catholic order named after Augustine, was teaching the Book of Romans to the students at University of Wittenberg, Germany. As he carefully studied the text, he became more and more convicted by Paul's central theme of justification by faith alone, which is the theme of the book, right? And he was a monk who was so fearful of the righteousness of God. Everything he does, he was so fearful that he will be judged. And he was so fearful that he is so bound to sin. And then one day, as he was reading the book of Romans, chapter 1, as he prepares lectures to teach Romans. Can you imagine? He doesn't even understand it and try to like lecture it, which is what so many people do. But as he was reading it, God revealed the truth. The righteousness of God is not the righteousness of God himself to judge, but righteousness of God by grace given to us so that we could be justified and in righteous. It turned his world upside down. Okay? So, through grace and sheer mercy, he justifies by faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn. Reborn. Are you reborn? No? Martin Luther was born again and to have gone through open doors into paradise or heaven. The whole scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate and fear, now inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul becomes a gateway to heaven. That's Romans, if you understand Book of Romans. Okay? Why is this book so important throughout history of Christianity and church? No other book imparted, okay, affected more revivals than the Book of Romans. And bring conversion and change of life than the Book of Romans. Saint Augustine, you know, I don't know whether you heard of that person, okay? Saint Augustine was a womanizer. He was a rascal when he was young, right? He was just sitting drunk. He's a drunkard and he just sleeps with other women. He's a bad person. And one day he was just sitting down and the kids were playing in front of him. Tole, 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 lego, Latin word meaning pick up the book and read. Pick up the book and read. It's just kids playing. So he picked up the book and opened the book, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Do not get drunk on wine. Do not live in debauchery. His life was completely turned around through the moment. Okay? Thousand years later, Martin Luther, okay, who is a monk in the order of Augustinian camp, when he grasped the idea of the message of Romans, he brought about Protestant Reformation. through the book of Romans, understanding of Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. That's how much it has impacted Luther, right? Later impacted John Bunyan. Have you heard of him? Pilgrim's Progress. You read that book, right, youth group? John Bunyan was converted through the book of Romans. And later he wrote Pilgrim's Progress and Grace Abounding. Hundreds of years later, 1738, May 24th, in the evening, someone by the name of John Wesley, okay? As he was listening to the exposition of Romans written by Luther, his heart becoming strangely warm, his life just completely converted. Countless people. John Calvin says, if the book of Romans is opened, and all the treasures of the scripture will be opened to you. Okay? One more. Martin Luther says, this book of Romans is the purest gospel. I just pray, I just share this history so that you will have hunger. Hunger. Without foundation, your life is standing on a sand. Right? Your minute here, next year are gone. Do you want to live like that? Right? Lay the foundation. Okay? What is the main theme of the book of Romans? These are the words you will find. Okay? What do you see? Youth group, what word do you see? Shiho, what do you see? What word do you see? Huh? Ethan, what word do you see? God? Good job. When in doubt, you say God, you can't go wrong. Okay, in Sunday school. 166 times it is written, mentioned in Book of Romans. 166 times in 16 chapter book. It's not that long. What else do you see? Okay, Hannah, what else do you see? Huh? It's okay. Which one? Could you speak up? Faith, yes, faith. 40 times it is mentioned in the book of Romans. God, faith, Christ mentioned 66 times. What about sin? Somewhere in sin, right here, sin. How many times? Sin is mentioned 45 times. Law is mentioned 77 times. Gospel is mentioned 60 times. Do you get it? If the author has an intention of expressing something, he would emphasize it. Let me repeat that. God, overwhelmingly, like dominating, 154 times. You know the greatest reality of the gospel is God? Do you know that? You know you will be standing before God? You will be accountable to God? That's the greatest reality of the gospel, of Christianity. It's not you. We like to think it is me. It's not you, it's God. 154 times. Today, the gospel of God. Next week, wrath of God. Do you know that? Judgment of God. Righteousness of God. Peace with God. Spirit of God. Spirit of holiness. This is Christianity. This is the reality. Not whatever you make up. If you ignore these, you are standing on a sand. You will sink, right? So what is the theme? The gospel, euangelion, which is mentioned 60 times. And in Christianity Explored, I already explained, in first century, the word euangelion is used for the Caesar Augustus. Remember? Mark chapter 1, verse 1. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but people used to say this is the beginning of the gospel of Caesar Augustus. He was the euangelion. He is the ruler. He is the deity. He is the Son of God. And to his face, the Bible says, no, Jesus is the euangelion. Right? People used to worship Caesar. People used to worship Caesar's power. He's the only one. He's God-man who brings Pax Romana, peace on earth. Right? Did he really? He doesn't last. But the Bible says, what's the theme of Book of Romans? It's God sin, Christ, gospel, faith. You get the message? You get the message? If God is the greatest reality and you have to deal with it, what are you going to do? You need the gospel. You need the gospel. If God is the greatest reality, right? And He is, what are you going to do? Okay? So that's the theme of the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Romans, excuse me. And here's the question that I want to kind of ask you. If God is God and we are such opponents and who are rebellious toward God, why does He bring the gospel to us? Why does He do that? Why does He do that? Why does He reach out to you? Donald Gray Barnhouse, American expositor preacher, told this fascinating legend of a French young man. Listen to this story. This is rated PG-13, but I give you warning. But amazing story, a French legend. There was a young man who was dearly loved by his own mother. Okay, but in his early manhood, he fell in deep immorality with this wicked woman. Okay, he was greatly fallen in love with this wicked woman, and he gave his heart to her. So mother, seeing all of these, she tried to draw the son away from her, from this debased, wicked relationship. And obviously the woman was enraged, right? So that wicked woman demanded the son, accusing him of not loving her enough. So basically she demanded that, "Won't you demonstrate your love to me by get rid of your mother?" Wow, right? So he resisted, he hesitated, until one night he got drunk and he ran to his mother's room and, you know, carry out this heinous demand. The man rushed into her room and just brutally stab her and take her mother's heart out and try to run away from their room. He was so drunk and he was so rushing out, he fell in his insane state. He stumbled and fell and he begins to roll. And that bleeding heart cried out, "My son, are you hurt?" And Dr. Donald Barnhouse says, "That's how God loves you. That's how God loves you." You know, I thought about this story. It sounds a little bit, maybe too much for the youth group. And I was meditating this morning. I don't think so. The story of Christianity, could it be any less than this? Why does He bring the gospel of God to you? Because that's how He loves you. Right? That's the book of Romans. What is the gospel of God? What is it? Okay? I just want to, let me just explain this. First century Roman Empire. Okay, Rome is right here in Italy. And first 20 years of his life, he started from here, Palestine. And he did ministry in Asia Minor, Turkey, and Macedonia, Achaia, and this is Corinth and Athens. He spent 20 years on the eastern side of Roman Empire. Now his desire is to go to Rome and go to Spain and take care of the western side of Roman Empire to preach the gospel. What an amazing motivation, right? That's why he's writing the book of Romans. That's why he's reaching out to the Roman. That's why he wants to go to Rome, right? He spent 20 years here, right? Bithynia, Ephesus, Pisidian, Antioch, and all these years, like here, and then Thessalonica, Philippi, Colossae, and Corinth, and Athens, after spending 20 years beaten up. Now he wants to go to the West and preach the gospel. That's what the book of Romans is about. Let me just read it one more time, okay? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Could you just fix your eyes upon that one verse? That's who he is. I was just reading about that. Is that only true for him? I think it is true for all Christians if you are a Christian. I really do, actually. A servant of Christ Jesus called to be an apostle. Apostle means sent, right? Set apart, meaning holy. That's what holy means. You've been selected, set apart for the purpose of him. From 7 billion people. That's what it means to be a Christian. Okay? Why? For the purpose of the gospel of God, the good news of God. Do you hear any good news if you turn on TV? Uruguay won, you know, the soccer game. That's not a good news. So what, right? What do you hear? It really doesn't matter. But the good news of God, that he loves you, even though you really don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. Right? So let me go over, let me just read it first. The gospel of God, which he has promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. I'm going to just stop right there. You know, Paul, he's just such a master writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Entire gospel, he summarized it in 3 verses, right there. Entire gospel. He cannot resist. He just like pour out what the gospel is in 3 verses. Let me just explain to you, okay? What is the gospel of God? Number one, it is which he promised beforehand through his prophets, Old Testaments, in the Holy Scripture. It may sound very plain, but it's such an important statement. The gospel of God is not something that he made it up, but it is for thousands of years God has promised. 332 prophecies of Messiah coming to one person. Now, I know I explained this before. What's the chance of that happening? What is that possibility of that happening? The Bible is written for the span of 1,500 years, right? And then in 3 different continents, 60 different authors. But what has been promised about Christ has been fulfilled. It is no new message. In other words, the entire Bible, okay, is about Christ, and it is about the gospel. And I hope you really get this. Entire Bible, book of Genesis, story of Abraham. You know, there are 57 Old Testament quotations in this one book, 16 chapter book of Romans, 57. And obviously, Paul was a master. He was a Pharisee. He knew the Bible. And he realized entire Old Testament is about Christ. That's a very important message to learn. It's not something that he made it up. It's not something new, disregarding the Old Testament. This is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament Holy Scripture. I already explained to you, by this time, the Judaism was completely rabbinical tradition, man-centered religion. Can I just ask you, if you just examine your Christian life, do you live Christian life according to the scripture or tradition? Something for you to think about. Do we do a church according to the scripture or tradition? Something to think about, right? But basically, Paul is declaring that this gospel of God is the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament, Genesis, right? Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and book of Job, Isaiah, Daniel, Samuel, and Kings. Entire book of the Old Testament is about Christ. Remember Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And if you read Romans, after we become Christian, we don't disregard the law. We love it and we fulfill it. Honor your mother and father. You can't do it. You hate your fathers. You hate your mothers. So many people do. But when your heart is changed, you love them. That's the change. You don't disregard the law, but you love the law. Now that you could live out the law. That's what Christianity is, okay? And God keeps his promises. And scripture is trustworthy. Second, the gospel is concerning his son. It is about the person. The gospel of God is about the person. I don't know what your Christianity says, but the scripture states that the gospel is about the person. Knowing him, loving him, and following him. That's the gospel. That's what this Christian foundation is. Knowing Christ, loving Christ, and following Christ. Do you know him? Do you have a desire to love him? Do you desire him? I just want to ask you, do you desire him? Right? He is the gospel. You need him, right? We're like that French young man falling in love with the world. And the woman demands, prove your love to me by get rid of the mother. Isn't that what the world tells us all the time? Prove to me. So we go and stab him really bad, crucify him, take his heart out. And we're going to stumble. Of course we're going to stumble. And what is he going to say? My son, are you hurt? Are you hurt? Right? It is about his son, Christ, who existed before the foundation of the world, and therefore he is God. Okay? Thirdly, concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh. Now this is the gospel. He became a man. That's Christianity. Unlike all the other religions, God actually became man. God, man. That's what the scripture states. And that's Christianity. Okay? He actually became a man. Okay? A son of God became a man, and in the line of David. You know story of David? Why is story of David so important? Because it is through the line of David, through the line of Jehoshaphat, through the line of Abraham. It's all about Christ. Do you get it? If the Romans is open, entire scripture will be opened. If the Romans is open, why is that story of Abraham and Sarah and Rebecca story, all that story? It'll be open to you. Otherwise, it's a boring thing. But if the book of Romans is open, you'll begin to understand the Old Testament. Remember the story of David sleeping with Bathsheba? Okay, someone else's wife, and brutally killing her husband, Uriah. And just planning everything, first degree murder, very vicious person. And do you remember that story? What is that story about? You know what that story is about? They had a first child. What happened to the first child? He died. They had a second child. What's his name? Does anybody know? Do you know, youth group? Solomon, King Solomon. You heard of King Solomon, right, Gracie? King Solomon is son of David from that immortal relationship. But from David to Solomon, Jesus came. Did you know that? You know what that story is about? It's about Jesus. It is about the Messiah. In fact, entire Old Testament, all the prophets have spoken about the Messiah, ultimately about the Messiah. 330 some prophecies fulfilled in one person. Thousands of years later, if you have a logical mind, please think with me. I know it is hot. Please think with me. Okay? May God shine upon you. It is about the Son, and it is about the man. Yeah, Jesus who became a man. And fourth and lastly, what is the gospel about? And was declared to be the Son of God. In other words, he's Son of Man and Son of God. He's a man God. And how did he prove that? Three prepositional phrases. In power, according to the spirit of holiness, by his resurrection, and four actually, from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wow, that's an amazing. Four prepositional phrases. Let me repeat that, okay? Son of God was proved in power according to the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. No other religion claims resurrection. No other religion. If you could find it, bring it to me, please. No other religion dare to claim about resurrection. But Bible is basically saying, Romans is basically saying, the gospel is power because Son of Man actually died. That's the gospel message. Gospel message is the Messiah died, not Messiah vindicated like from the beginning. He actually died. And the gospel says he actually was raised in 3 days. That's the gospel message. That's the core of the gospel message through which he proved that he's the Son of God and he's coming back. That's the gospel message. I don't know, it's hard for me to tell what your response is right now, but is that the Christianity you believe? Is that the Christianity you believe? Only by Christ you could be saved. And that's not my word. Only by Christ. Okay? I just pray that you would have hunger and sincerity. Doesn't he deserve our sincere attention when the word of God is spoken? What do you think, youth group? Yes? He does, right? He deserves it. And it's the gospel of God spoken to you. Why? Because like that French young man story, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he loves me. Even when we stumble, that's what he cries out to you. My son, are you hurt? Okay? Even we just brutally stab her. We're going to spend 10 months, maybe a year. By the time you'll be in seventh grade, some of you will be 20 years old. And this church will reach 10-year anniversary. And my prayer is that this church will lay a solid foundation. That's really my prayer. Okay? May God do his work. Okay? If you don't build your life upon him, you're standing upon sand. I want to just repeat it. You're standing upon sand. You will sink. That's what the scripture states. Next week, we'll talk about the power of God, the gospel of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Basically, he's saying, I am most proud of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Is that the case for you? Right? Because Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, when the Son of Man returns, I'll be ashamed of you. Right? And I don't think it's just he's threatening us. Okay? So would you read Book of Romans this week, youth group? It only takes an hour. Ethan, 1 hour. You promised. Okay, witness? Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of witness. Okay. Let's pray for that foundation in your life, people. Without foundation, this church will sink. Your life will sink. Let's pray.